morning, everybody. Welcome to the April 27th ADA Board meeting. I'd like to call us to order, and I'd like Corinne to do a roll call to the board members.
Mr. Wilkins.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Paradis.
Here.
Mr. Kennedy.
Here.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Here.
Ms. Brown.
Here.
Mr. Dick.
Present by teleconference.
Mr. Cruz.
Here.
All present and accounted for.
I have your packet here, Russell. I brought it for you.
I appreciate it.
Russell, who? Corinne, would you continue with the staff and public, please?
Okay. As I point to you, please state your name and organization. We'll start here at the table.
Brenda Applegate, Ada.
Layla Kimbrough, Bertort, Fittner, and Sherrill.
Mark Davis, Ada.
Carson Rodvick, Ada.
Alan May, Tony.
Mark Gardner, PSM.
And Britton Pendick.
Ontario, Ada.
Sydney Middleton, Accutate.
John Andrews, Governor's Office.
Jim Whitaker, Governor's Office.
Blake Phillips, Alaska Permanent Capital Management.
Laura Bruce, Alaska Permanent Capital.
I'm your next one, Ada.
Jennifer Haldane, Ada.
Mike Kenzie, Ada.
Sherry Searson, Ada.
Tim Gallagher, HDR.
Ms. Anderson, Ada.
Jerry Judea, Department of Law.
Prince Hampton, Ada. Do we got public on the phone? Any public on the phone?
Yes, this is Catherine Wolf from Bertort and Fittner and Shiro.
Any other public? Okay.
Thank you, Corinne. Under item four is a gender approval. I think Brenda has something she wants to add to it.
Yes, Chair Proof, I request a change to the agenda under new business to add resolution number G1705. Resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority approving amendments to the non-binding memorandum of understanding with the Interior Gas Utility.
So that would be under, that would be after executive session E on the agenda. Any discussions, objections? Hearing none, we'll approve that amendment to the agenda, and the agenda is approved. Next up is public comments. I'll remind everybody, if anybody wants to make a comment, 3 minutes per person. Please clearly state your name and affiliation if you have one. And I will start on the line. Online, is there anybody online wishing to make a public comment? Hearing no one online, is anybody in the conference room here wishing to make a public comment? Seeing, hearing none, I will close the public comments. That brings us to item number 60, business. Resolution G17-04, approving continued investment in Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool, AMLP. Brenda?
Yes. Resolution number G1704 regards to approving continued investment in the Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool, or AMLIP, and removing the sunset clause. In October 2013, the board authorized the authority to become a member in AMLIP and participate in the investment pool until the executive director or board terminated the membership and participation, or June 30, 2017, whichever occurs first. Staff is requesting to remove the June 30 sunset and authorize continued participation in investment. The primary investment objective for the internally managed portfolio is to safekeep funds while providing the adequate liquidity to meet immediate expenditure needs. ADA's investment policy requires we have sufficient internally managed funds to meet liquidity needs for the succeeding 2 years. Additionally, we are required by bond covenants to maintain cash equivalents as defined by the revolving fund bond resolution, maturing in 1 year in an amount at least equal to the lesser of $50 million or 25% of the general obligation bond indebtedness. That current requirement is $11,497,500. Funds currently invested in the pool consist of project-related funds, which is for the IEP, the Ketchikan Shipyard and Ambler, and SETS, and are not considered part of the general liquidity guidelines due to restrictions on the use of those funds. Investment in AMLIP has allowed us to take advantage of a AAA rating, competitive returns, and no fees. At this time, that could change in the future, with full liquidity. Laura Bruce and Blake Phillips are here from Alaska Permanent Capital Management, the investment advisors for AMLIP, to answer any questions.
Thanks, Brenda. So, Do we want to, is it the wish of the board to put it on the table and then have discussion, or is that the discussion first?
Mr. Chairman, I would move G17-04 for approval.
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. Discussions. Any questions for our guests?
Mr. Chairman.
Fred.
Can I get a deeper explanation of the Alaska Municipal League as a private entity in the context of holding these funds?
Yeah, I'll ask Laura and Blake to come to the table, please.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
I'm prepared to answer that question.
Go ahead, Laura.
Thank you, Chair. So my name is Laura Bruce. I have been a 10-year representative for the Alaska Municipal League Pool. The question was the Alaska Municipal League and its involvement in AMLIP. In 1992, when the fund was started, it needed a sponsor. So it was created by state statute, and Alaska Municipal League was the entity it chose to sponsor the pool. It's been in existence since that time with that with them as the sponsoring member.
Jerry?
Yeah. This is questions for Brenda. I'd like to know what the due diligence was in comparing this fund to other possible investment pools that you might be, that ADA may be invested in for the same purpose.
Well, we currently, we started investing when Michael Lamb was the chief financial officer, and he had some knowledge of the pool. But also we are invested in the money market as a short-term investment vehicle through our trustee, KeyBank, and that's what we have been using up until this point. The pool seemed to fit our needs. It provides liquidity and a better rate of return. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, you have 140 million plus or minus, so yeah. A basis point on $140 million is how much? Just it's one 10,000th of that, so you can do the math. And I'm a little concerned with the level of return that you have here, and I think it's important to consider this because, for example, the short-term investment pool that the state manages, which Alaska Housing has their $600 million or so in, has earned another 40 basis points last year than this did. So I think it would be important to take a look at what else is there. It doesn't meet your needs, but I'm not objecting to the resolution. I think that we need to look beyond this, because at $140 million, that a few basis points matters.
Sure. Yeah.
And so.
And the AMLIP pool is designed for short-term investment.
Yes, I understand, and that's what I'm comparing it to, as the AY70 and shortest term investment pool that we
Jerry, what volume are you guys putting in to get the 40 basis points?
Well, we manage it internally, and it has,
is that
over $1 billion in it.
Is that, so it's multiple of five, and is that manager return, is that net 40 basis points?
Yeah.
Is that including
the net is different. So I think it's just a matter of comparing, because it's not exactly the same. And I think at this time, especially with changes in the marketplace, that it might be worth taking a look at other things.
Sure.
I know these people do a fine job, and not complaining.
Right.
But I think there may be other yield advantages elsewhere, and if there are, we should be taking advantage of them.
Okay.
So Brendan, maybe a suggestion, maybe do some analysis comparison.
Sure.
At the next board meeting or the follow-up couple months, bring something for us to look at. Fred?
Mr. Chairman, I still want to pursue. I didn't get a sufficiently in-depth answer to my question. So I want to understand the relationship between the Alaska Municipal League and the fund. So they're described as the fund sponsor on page 5, which says that the Alaska Municipal League, through its advocacy role, works closely with the state administration, legislature, and the congressional delegation to ensure legislative success. What I'm driving at is really a separation between proceeds from the management of the fund and an advocacy role. I just want a clear understanding of that.
Okay.
So the Alaska Municipal League takes no management role in the Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool. They are, it is managed by KeyBank and overseen by Alaska Permanent Capital. The fund was created as a pool for all municipalities within the state of Alaska, and so they were the natural connection between all the municipalities within the state of Alaska, but they have no management role whatsoever, except for board governance of making sure the ordinance is correct, the meeting minutes are taken, that's the role.
Mr. Chairman, just to close that line of question, and thank you for that answer. As fund sponsor, then they're not receiving an overhead. Do they retain a liability for management of the fund?
I don't know the answer to the liability question, but they are responsible for the governance of the to keep minute notes. But I am not a legal expert on their liability for that process.
Mr. Chairman, I see that our own Mr. Lamb is executive or president.
So
can take my questions offline to him.
All right. Thank you. Dan?
Yes, thanks. Very briefly, and I want to appreciate Mr. Burnett's question on maximizing return on our investment. I think that was an excellent question. And Mr. Chairman, if I could ask Ms. Applegate a question on the bond rate. I'm just curious if we think, with experts at the table, if we'll maintain a AAA bond rating
For us, I would hope so. For ADA, yes. And the fund is AAA rated as well.
This fund is AAA rated.
Mr. Chairman, I have a second line of questions.
I think there was one other comment by the expert.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to add that it is a AAA M rating by S&P, and it's independent of, because the investments are independent, it's independent of any rating of the state. So that is separately analyzed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this question is probably for Brendan, perhaps for consideration of the board, but it's interesting to me that the resolution is structured to, we've had a sunset date on this investment, which has brought it back before the board as of this date. And in this resolution, we're eliminating that sunset date and leaving it to the discretion of the executive director. Therefore, we're reducing board oversight. And it appears to be a routine investment, et cetera, but I'm not so sure that we shouldn't bring it back before the board with some period.
What was the period? What was the last period? Do you remember?
June 30, 2017 is the current sunset, and we started investing in October, I think, of 2013. So approximately 3 years.
Maybe 5 years.
What's the pleasure of the board? 3 to 5 suggestions.
I am. I'd like to offer a conceptual amendment if it suits the chair and the board that we have a 5-year sunset date on the resolution.
Yeah, be supportive of that.
So are you second?
I think the second is here.
Mm-hmm. Friendly amendment.
All right. Any opposition to adding the amendment? All right. So the resolution now is amended before us. Any further questions? For Brenda or a permanent manager people.
Ready for a question?
Thank you. Chris, we're ready for the question.
Mr. Wilkin.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradise.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Pruth.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next, item B is Resolution G0409A, approving the amendment to the provisions of Resolution G9809 related to the deadline for filing financial statements of the trustee for the authority of Snedisham Power Revenue Bonds. Tomorrow will be true. Brendan.
Resolution number G9809A, with regards to amending a provision of Resolution number D9809, relating to the deadline for filing annual financial statements with the trustee for the Snedisham Power Revenue Bonds, Section 7.17.3A of the Snedisham Power Revenue Bond Resolution, currently requires the authority to file its financial statements with the bond trustee, U.S. Bank, within 120 days after the close of each fiscal year, or October 28th. Staff recommends extending the date to December 31st. The amendment will take effect after all four of the following items have occurred. The ADA board adopts a resolution in front of you today. The resolution is filed with the U.S. Bank. Alaska Electric Light and Power approves and U.S. Bank consents to the change. As noted in the memo attached to the resolution, recent accounting changes and increasing complexity of ADA's financial statements have made it difficult and sometimes impossible to meet the current deadline. A formal extension will better align the bond covenant with the current accounting and financial reporting realities of the authority. As always, we will work to issue ADA's financial statements as soon as possible and are sensitive to the needs of the users of our financial results, such as the state. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Brenda. Questions? Brenda, typically when do we have the statements completed?
Well, in the last 2 years, it's been early December, around the 4th. Prior to that, we always met our October 28th deadline. It was a push, but we were always able to get there. Within the last 2 years, though, with GASB 68, the pension standards, and the timing of getting information from the state, it's made it impossible for us to meet that deadline, so we haven't met it the last 2 years.
So it's roughly 5 months after the year end?
And I would anticipate us still being able to meet like the first week in December, because I know that the state needs our information for other purposes, and we have an annual report to publish by the end of the month. And we have a reporting deadline on the Municipal Securities Rules Investment, their website for municipal securities, of December 31st. So we would want to make sure we were issued long before that.
Okay.
Do you want me to make a motion to put that on the table? Yes, I'd like to make a motion for approval of resolution number G98-09.
I'll second.
The resolution is 09-09A.
I think there's a typo on the agenda.
Oh, sorry.
It should be 98-09A.
Yeah, 98-09. You are correct.
So is there a second?
Yes, I second.
Oh, thanks, Jerry. All right, discussion, any further discussion, Dan?
Yeah, our March audit committee meeting, we very briefly touched upon this with Ms. Applegate, and I knew this was forthcoming to the board, and I would like to support that. It's really a housekeeping issue on dates of the audited financial statements.
Okay. Any further questions or discussion?
Call for the question.
Questions and call, Corinne.
Mr. Wilkin.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Paradise.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Bruce.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Corinne. Brings us to item C, Interior Energy Project Update, quarterly report for April 2017. And I suppose that would be Gene.
Yes. I believe you all got a copy of the quarterly report that was filed covering the first 3 months of this calendar year. I will use the same format that the information is presented in that report, just to walk through the components. On gas supply, the team continues to advance under a concept of integration of the two utilities, looking for a source of gas that would be able to feed the two utilities. At the beginning of the calendar year, though, even though IGU, with the success that we had in signing the MOU with IGU to consolidate the utilities, IGU had stepped into the lead of the gas supply negotiations. We did put them on notice that because Pentex has current customers and our existing gas contract times out after the March 31st of next year, that we could only allow a certain amount of time for those negotiations to go forward, looking for that ideal supply of gas before Pentex would actually have to step in to assure our existing customers that we've got gas to meet their needs. There is a proposed MOU extension today that does include the language that, should you approve it, clearly gives Mr. Britton, on behalf of Pentex, the authority to start negotiations again to look for that supply of gas to assure our existing customer base and potential expanded base that we will have the resource to meet their needs.
Gene, so with that being said, I believe the resolution talks about keeping IGU in the loop, and I also assume that Mr. Britton would be sensitive to the IGU needs while he's making the negotiations, and correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, it is certainly not our intent to indicate in any way that we are separating from IGU. We are making headway, and I'll cover that in a little bit here on the utility consolidation. I'm papering the deal to bring the two utilities together as Mr. Britton would look for a supply of gas, again, to meet our existing customers, the potential to expand and put resource in the pipes in the expanded system within the Pentex area. It would also be for a quantity of gas that could also supply IGU2. We want to keep them in the loop, but we currently are still the owners of the Pentex assets, the FNG customer base. We have a duty to them to make sure that we've got the resource to meet their needs. But as we look to get the supply to meet those needs, we will keep IGU apprised of those negotiations so that they ultimately, hopefully, would feel comfortable that that supply of gas that would supply a combined utility would be workable for them. On the LNG plant, we have been on hold as far as the expansion of the plant, pulling the trigger on that. That, of course, requires a House Bill 105 plan, and gas supply is a key component of the board being able to consider that. So we have looked at and evaluated all the pre-feed documents that were secured by Salix, and so believe that we are prepared to move forward with plant expansion after the board considered and hopefully approves a 105 plan sometime in the future. On transportation, nothing much has changed since the last update. The large capacity trailer is very much in the fleet. It always catches my eye when I see it in Fairbanks.
That's got Gary's name on it, doesn't it?
It should.
A Welkin Express.
No,
only when it gets a puck.
I think it's a sign that back says future puck goes here.
And Mr. Britton continues to interact with the railroad as far as the potential of bringing commodity into the community at some point via rail, just to further reduce the cost. With regards to storage, we still are planning on an expansion of storage in South Fairbanks that would allow some of the existing bullet tanks then to be redeployed into the North Pole area to start feeding the pipes in that part of the system until the two separate systems would actually be able to be linked. There's certainly, the storage credit or the availability of storage credit or payment is uncertain. We believe the project still does pencil out if that assistance is not available in the future, but it certainly could be very helpful for the finances of the integrated utility. Right now, as of Tuesday, I guess, the storage credit is a bit in play as a component of the Senate Resources version of House Bill 111. They have proposed some changes in the statute that dealt with storage of natural gas in a gaseous state. That was a mechanism that was used for the SINGSA construction in the past. Storage of gas in a liquid state, that's the LNG storage credit or repayment. And also there was a similar mechanism that allowed some repayments or tax credits for investment in refinery infrastructure in the state of Alaska. All three of those mechanisms were added to the beginning of House Bill 111. I've done some research on those components. I was initially concerned that they might really do harm to the potential access of the LNG storage. It does not appear on further review that there was any intention there to really harm that possibility for the LNG. But now that if in fact the funding of that in the future is no longer going to be tied to an oil and gas investment credit pool of money, and would require a direct capital appropriation. In some ways, that might be a little harder, but if we were previously planning on dipping out of a pool that had become smaller, and the line of people that were getting wanting to get access to that pool was very long, it may be, you know, six and one half a dozen of the other as far as surety that there will be a benefit for us there in the future. So at this point, I'm working with the administration to see if that language stays in, if there's a means of making the LNG storage credit any more of a sure thing in the future. We'll be looking for that opportunity. And again, just in the past, we have had expressions from commercial customers in Fairbanks that they understand the benefit of the expansion of storage. That is one of the things that they are very interested in seeing happen. So if and when the board is gets to the point of considering a 105 plan, the potential of moving forward on storage expansion in the interior will be a critical component of that. And then finally, on the utility consolidation, the negotiations are taking longer than we had hoped, but they are moving the project forward. We've had face-to-face negotiations with IGU and their negotiating team. We are at the point where we believe on our side we're to the point where we're ready to send a new redline version across for IGU's consideration after our last face-to-face discussion and sort of clarifying why we felt that there was some boilerplate language that needed to be in the document. They originally had pushed back based on a misunderstanding. So I think, again, just to assure you that we are advancing those negotiations to allow more time. That is the second part in the MOU extension that's before you today, is to step the date out on that MOU to May 31st, again, just to allow a little bit more time to try and bring those documents to a close. There may be a little bit of frustration that, you know, we just step it out a month at a time, but our read from board comments previously was that you wanted to keep the pressure on and not indicate in any way that there's a protracted amount of time. Certainly, quite often, processes will eat up whatever amount of time that you have, and so we believe that the end of May is a reasonable date to try and get the contracts and other documents prepared for your consideration by the end of the month. Just briefly on distribution, one of the things that we've been working on for some time that would potentially help the growth of distribution is means of helping customers to convert. I'm happy to let you know that the PACE legislation finally did pass the legislature. It is now pending a transmission to the governor for his consideration and signature. I do want to let you know that although that's certainly a milestone to get the mechanism in place for consideration, passage of the legislation is perhaps the easiest part, even if it's taken us a while to get it done. There is a lot of work to be done at the municipal level to figure out a way of using that mechanism. We believe, well, we know that the municipalities in interior Alaska are very much interested in figuring out how they can make that work. As AEA now pulls together a working group of the larger municipalities that have expressed an interest in understanding PACE, figuring out how PACE may be a benefit within their communities. We know that the Fairbanks North Star Borough and the City of Fairbanks, City of North Pole will be leaders in that that discussion. But again, just to let you know, we're probably 2 years out from really a 105 plan being considered, when you pull the trigger on that, actually having increased capacity to serve customers in interior Alaska. It will take every bit of those, that 2 years, for the municipalities to figure out how to really implement PACE to benefit commercial customers to use it to help them to hook up. So it's a good thing that the legislation is finally passed, we certainly anticipate that the governor is likely to sign it into law. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I think that touches on the highlights of an overview. I certainly will be available to answer any questions on the resolution that would empower the executive director to amend the MOU again for an extension of time and to authorize Mr. Britton on behalf of Pentex and its customers to secure a source of gas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Any questions from the board? Gary?
I have three. The first having to do with investment grade utility, and the other having to do with our outreach. So first, investment grade. As we know, our financial consultants and our legal team have insisted that we insist on an investment grade utility with the new utility that will come out. To what extent has that helped, or has that slowed down the negotiations, and is IGU fully aware that that will be the result of anything that comes to this table for approval?
I think I can give you the high level answer. Yes, we've made that a very clear component. It is referenced directly in many of the documents that it has to be that in investment grade utility.
Mr. Wilkin, the requirement that the utility be an investment grade utility was in the MOU, and the first drafts of the finance agreement, which is the one of the two major agreements and where that resides, we put considerable detail about that. The utility principles that you had seen shared with the board. I guess I'd say that while IGU is in agreement with the overall concept, we're not yet there on the definitive documents about to what degree that's spelled out in those documents.
So those documents industry standard? Or is that industry standard which you put in?
Yes. But the principles are. To what degree those principles are actually spelled out in the final document is where we're not yet at a meeting of the minds.
So is it, in your opinion, is it pardon me, crystal clear in their minds that they will have an investment-grade utility in order to be approved by this board?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Next question has to do with outreach. Two questions. To what extent with the EPA that came to town some weeks ago, did the IEP surface, and was there any discussion of it, of our efforts and how it plays into trying to clean up our air?
Yes, I previously have given the EPA Region 10 folks an update on the project. I was not able to do so at the last time they were in town, and so Mr. Stewart with IGU presented. He and I coordinated that, so he gave them an update. They're very much tracking this. And so anytime they come in to town, they want an update.
Good, okay. And second, having to do with Eielson, have we entered ourselves into the conversation about what we're trying to do at North Pole vis-a-vis F-35 buildup? Do we attend meetings? Do they know that we're trying to get clean air, clean gas into the North Pole area?
Well, Mr. Wilkin, directly, no, I have not been. I would assume that the borough, though, because the military presence there is very important. The air quality issue is one that, of course, the borough is working on. I guess I've got to believe that they have let the military know that, in fact, we're working on natural gas as a way of hopefully helping with energy prices, uncertainty of energy prices, and a way of cleaning up the air problem.
I saw for 70% of the new people that are coming are going to live off base, which means North Pole, first blush. And so I hope that we're all keeping in front of the military the fact that we're doing the best we can to do something about our dirty air so that they don't redline a certain part of North Pole or scratch North Pole out. And make it difficult for these people that are coming as the F-35s come for them to find a place to live. That is what we don't need. And so I don't know, Gina, is there someone you might just talk with at the borough to find out how that conversation is going, or whom would tell them about what we're trying to do and keep it in front of them?
Certainly, Mr. Wilk, I'll check directly with the mayor his deputy, that is really burden-docking that effort.
Yeah. Maybe Jim Dodson, Petco might know too.
Sure.
Okay. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you.
So, Gene, what is being done, on the North Pole issue itself? The fact that there are 3,000, 3,500 folks going to show up, and 2,500 or north of that may live off campus, so to speak. I would assume the private industry is rushing to develop plans, infrastructures to take care of those folks. My concern is, if you're building a home or an apartment or a strip mall or whatever, gas station, when you put that in place, you have to decide what kind of heat source you're going to make a decision on. So is there any effort from either the IGU, ADA, or Pentex, the borough up there, to help facilitate a decision for these new structures to be gas oriented also, or a dual source furnace? Or I would sure hate to see that 500, 600, 700 single family homes, 400 get built up there, and they all have oil fired heat or maybe even wood stoves.
Mm-hmm. I know that from my own conversations with Mayor Ward of North Pole, that the existing businesses there are very much watching the development of the IEP project and the availability of gas. I certainly got a sense from him that the new businesses that are interested in building in North Pole, and as a landowner out in that area, I know there is a lot of interest in, some of the large commercial buildings being built out there. Their preference is certainly to start with gas. There is pressure on existing buildings, commercial structures in the core of Fairbanks that have underground storage tanks right now, pressure from new corporate owners to get rid of those tanks. And so I know that Mr. Britton has heard from businesses that are very anxious to know when the expanded supply of gas is available so that they can take efforts to switch over and remediate their existing underground storage sites. So commercial properties, I know through Mary Ward, have expressed a desire. For a residential property, you would certainly expect, any new building, new residential structure to be built with, an installation of a modern fuel oil fired plant that would lend itself to more easily being converted over to natural gas at a price of maybe $2,000. Or those homes can be built and initially be fired with propane that then, all you need to do is hook up the supply of gas and maybe change a nozzle to switch over. So there are some options when housing is built. I'm not sure if Mr. Britton, has had any conversations to know what the homeowners are.
I can speak on behalf of Fairbanks Natural Gas, Dan Britton, for the record. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. We do receive calls quite often for new buildings, new residents being constructed, and we try and help them through the process on selecting their heating source that would be readily converted in the future. To the extent they've got issues to deal with, such as landscaping, paving, things like that, we'll try to work with them on even a free installation of the service line, the infrastructure, so that it minimizes impacts in the future. Mm-hmm. We do also have what we call a small volume interruptible tariff. Commercial customers of a certain size can take advantage of an interruptible tariff with us and put in a backup heating source. So primarily they get the opportunity to use natural gas now, and in the future can switch to firm service when we have those supply available. So we try and use those tools to make sure they're prepared when we have more supply.
So do we have like an outreach, or do you have an outreach program with the borough or with the city of North Pole to
so the coordination, obviously developers, homeowners, they're making decisions, so it would sure be nice that as you said, to be guided in such a way that at least a easily dual fuel-fired furnace would certainly help, or the propane option, but I'd sure just hate to miss that opportunity as structures start to go up. There is somewhat of a tentative schedule for supply, and I don't know if the developments are going to be in clusters and how it fits into the build-out of the borough, the North Pole area. But I'd sure like to make sure that there is an opportunity for people to get the information and be proactive to get the information out there as things progress.
Mr. Chairman, that certainly is a good suggestion. I'm not aware of whether IGU's got that. A similar effort to what Mr. Britton just expressed, that if you're building a new house and or actually out in the North Pole area, there may be empty pipe out in the street now, so you know where your service line is going to be coming from. As you build that new house, do you just put in the service line and in the foundation or wherever you've got your black iron pipe then that would go to the furnace, so it's already plumbed to receive gas, and then you install an appliance that can either be fired initially with propane or easily switched. That certainly is, it would be good to know if IGU out in their area has information to supply to.
I think an outreach program would be, I hate to hear someone say, I didn't know. No one told me, or we had no clue, and they built 50 homes, and no one had an idea. So,
appreciate it. Good suggestion.
Does North Pole have its own building codes, or do they use state building code?
I believe they have. No, I'm not sure. I lived outside the city, so, and keep in mind, the city, in what people call the North Pole area, the city is actually a very small market.
Mr. Chairman, I have another question.
Wayne?
Conversions. Have you seen any increase on conversions from wood and oil to gas, natural gas?
Well, there
haven't
been a lot of conversions just because we don't have the increased supply at this point. And so if somebody does come on, they have to be an interruptible source that might work for an industrial who might want to have that dual fuel capability anyway. But you're not going to have too many homes that are actually going to have that capability just because of the expense. The borough does have a very aggressive program to get people to swap out old, less efficient wood-fired systems to get EPA-approved wood-fired appliances if they're going to continue to heat with wood. But that's just upgrading the efficiency and cleanliness of a wood appliance. It's not a direct switch to gas.
Thank you. Any questions on the quarterly report, Jean?
Mr. Chairman, did we need to vote on moving the MOU draft date to May 30th?
That's good. The item B, we added one.
After? I missed the ad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Here's the executive session.
Yeah. Thank you. More details.
Okay.
Are you ready for a motion?
I'm now at the executive session is up number D, so I will pick. Let me get a motion. Now, the executive session is to relate to your engine project, Mach 1 and AO281. So,
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board enter into an executive session to discuss confidential and financial information related to the Interior Energy Project at Green Street 281 and Mustang Operations Center, Mach 1.
Second here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to executive session. Where are we doing that at?
In the afternoon.
In the afternoon. And we are going to do Mach 1 Mustang operations first, followed by the Interior Energy Project in 281.
You are on the record.
Thank you. Well, for the record, I'll state that the board has not taken any formal action on the matters discussed while we were in executive session. That brings us to item number E. Resolution G17-05, Second Amendment to the Non-Binding MOU with IGU.
Move approval.
Second. So, resolution number G1705 regards approving amendments to the non-binding memorandum of understanding with the Interior Gas Utility. Dean Terrio is available to present this resolution.
Thank you. Welcome back, Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I discussed in my general comments, the resolution has two operative sections. If you look at the bottom of page 2, it talks about section 1, which is the extension of the date on the MOU. So May 31st, to give the negotiating teams time to try to finalize the documents. As I mentioned, we're making significant headway. Our team is prepared to soon to pass across a new red line version that will draw us closer together on some of the important documents. And then section 2 there then talks about this very specific authorization for Mr. Britton on behalf of Pentex to begin to look for a source of gas for our existing customer base at a price and quantity that we believe will work for the project. And again, the quantity to serve our existing customer base, the potential for expansion within our base, and also the potential to have gas that would be available to IGU separately if they felt that it was workable for their system, and then also workable for a combined system. It is our intent that we will keep them apprised, certainly, of the negotiations, because, again, we are still moving forward for the consolidation, but it's sort of the realization that we have an existing customer base, and we have to, as part of our fiduciary duty, have to make sure that we signal to them that we have their needs met in the future. So that those are the two operative parts of the MOU. The resolution basically gives the executive director the authority to sign that MOU with those two modifications.
Okay. Questions for the board? Gary?
Gene, let me just see if I have this right, because I'd like to get it on the record. So, I'm also aware of the April 1st deadline a year from now. I have to be a gas customer. So I understand the urgency and the necessity to get that gas locked down. But I wouldn't want this resolution to think that we're walking away or shedding IGU. I think we all have to remember, and this is probably for the board's edification, we have a borough in Fairbanks, and underneath the umbrella of that borough is the city of North Pole and the city of Fairbanks. City of Fairbanks and the city of North Pole ceded their powers to the borough for this project. So when we talk about IGU, we just want to talk about a small group. You're really talking about the people of the borough. So this is out of necessity of our lack of ability to get gas at this moment, but it doesn't indicate that we're walking away, and it, for the record, we're going to keep IGU in the loop and advise what we're doing, and I just want to make that go on the record, because I know there's some folks that think that that may not be the case, but at least from this board member standpoint, they are still part of this effort, the long-term effort, to get gas as soon as possible at the lowest price possible to as many people as possible.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, to the question, certainly the overall desires of the community, efforts of the community are benefited by aggregating the demand of the two utilities, and we are still very much focused on that. Just unfortunately, we haven't been able to identify the ideal gas. We've got existing customers. You know, we have to step out and serve their needs. And ultimately, the two boards will have independent decisions on the plan that we bring forward for the consolidation and whether they approve them. We believe we're on track for that to happen. But we've got this immediate gas need, and if for whatever reason that consolidation doesn't happen on the timeline that we see forward, we want to be sure that we've got gas that can serve our existing customers and the potential for expanded availability as soon as possible too.
Thank you. And with that question and answer, I'm prepared to support the resolution.
Thanks, Gary. Any further questions or comments from the board? question has been asked. Corinne.
Mr. Wilkin.
Aye.
Deputy Commissioner Faraday.
Aye.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Deputy Commissioner Burnett.
Yes.
Ms. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Dick.
Yes.
Mr. Cruz.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, just want to bring out a vote and the extension of that date out to the 31st. I know your currently scheduled meeting, board meeting, next month is on the 18th. I'm not sure if it was set on that date for other reasons. Your action on this might not cause you to want to change that, but it might be something that you consider, or you know whether you think that you would have a special meeting.
Well, I think the meeting was scheduled earlier because of the Memorial Day holiday falling on that week. It's a challenge, you know, we have board members that don't live here in Anchorage, and so at least travel schedules. But I would suggest that we would, if need be, we would a teleconference one way or another. If we had to address something with the MOU and the timelines, we would do that.
Okay. And then, Mr. Chairman, if I could just, and I'm sorry, I should have talked to you about this. Just wanted to let you know that with the legislation, the PACE legislation that passed, there is legislation that's been introduced in Congress that is proposing to put some restrictions on PACE lending. But I wanted to let you know that that is residential PACE lending. I've been in touch with folks in the AEA, you know, site that have been working on that. They have communicated with folks in our D.C. Congressional Delegation offices to let them know that the PACE bill that passed in Alaska is not and will not cause the problems that Congress is trying to fix with residential lending in the legislation that's been introduced in Congress.
Before Gene is finished, could you give us a quick update on GASB?
The GASB legislation is currently pending in both the Senate Finance and House Finance. I have gone around and touched base with enough members on the Senate Finance Committee to get an indication at the request of Senator McKinnon's committee staff that that the members are ready for it to be brought back up for a second hearing. I've gone around to answer their specific questions. I've used information that Brenda provided as far as an example of the individual GASB rules impact. And also based on a conversation that I had with Brenda about a week ago, it looks like we're going into a year due to the market price on negotiable securities, treasury securities, where we are running the likelihood of a real suppression to the A to dividend calculation next year. Because GASB 31 is going to negatively influence the dividend, the unfunded pension obligation, which will be a negative drag for decades, will stack on top of that. And then in the next year or two, we're going to have GASB 75 that will kick in, which is unfunded pensioner medical obligations that will also be a negative drag for a number of years. So I've discussed with some offices that we've got this situation now where we're going to have a number of negative things and we'll suppress the dividend. What we're basically asking with this legislation is that we would be able to back those paper adjustments out so that the dividend wouldn't be artificially suppressed. So I'm still hopeful that the closing flurry, and Senator Wilkin and I know that a lot can happen in a very short period of time, that there's still an opportunity.
It's not on the list. And Mr. Chairman, just maybe in closing that vein, I thought we set May 18th because it's the day after May 17th, the 120th day, and we can celebrate.
Make that day 151.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Gene.
Thanks, Gene. All right, so up next is director's comments.
The loan dashboard reports and the development project matrices are available for your review. The continuing education calendar, if board members are interested in attending a course, please contact Sherry Severson. And the next ADA board meeting is scheduled currently for May 18th at 2017 at ADA's offices. Thank you.
Coming up to board comments.
Jerry?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to thank the staff and the board members for changing their schedule and accommodating my ineptitude to manage a calendar. Thank you for adjusting everything.
We give retired senators a little slack.
Quite frankly, I thought maybe it would be some snack or something on their table here. Thank you for a memo or something.
Anyway,
you can't use the lane stuff.
Thank you. Everybody.
I have two quick comments. My first is in regard to the audit committee. We're kind of looking at November, but Fred, we wanted to make sure you were available. So I'm so glad you're here, Brenda. So when we pick that date, let's kind of work around your schedule too. I know I'm more flexible than you might be, and maybe also Mr. Wilkins.
I'm very busy.
What date for him? You might want to put a couple go to meeting things out.
You might want to buy his tickets.
Yeah, I may talk to his boss. She probably keeps the schedule for him.
My other comment is in 2 weeks on my own costs, I'm going to go tour the Ketchikan shipyard. I wanted to thank staff for lining up a 1 to 2 hour tour of that, and then also I'm going to look at the asset we own in Skagway, the Skagway ore terminal. So again, I wanted to make sure you knew that I was doing that. And thanks staff for setting up those quick tours.
Garrett?
Why in God's name would you pay for that? I mean, nice try, but I'm sorry.
So the only other asset that I haven't seen physically would be the dam out of Juneau. So that's on my bucket list too.
Okay, our agency ought to be paying for his travel.
Not this one.
No.
I'll be in town on
your stuff. So.
Okay.
Oh, billable hours.
Well, I would like to thank Brenda. This is the first meeting as acting executive director in his spot. So, I think you did a great job.
Appreciate it.
I think it went smooth.
Thank you.
I think from the board, we do thanks to the rest of the staff. And it made you look good today, Brenda.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for putting up with me.
Yeah. With that, I'll take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Very adjourned.